Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Chop Sports Daily, coming to you live from the Flipping Made Easy studio in Mattawan, New Jersey, and, of course, the Dave Cave in an undisclosed town in Middlesex County, New Jersey. It is Sturch. It is Gooch. It is a feel-good football Friday. I mean, we got a lot to talk about. As far as football is concerned. We got the entire Week 10 slate. We got that abysmal showing by the Baltimore Ravens last night. I don't know what the hell happened there. We'll get into it when we get into it, but it starts off with the news that broke, and we kind of already kind of discussed off air, Gooch, yesterday. We got to do something when these things break, because we literally just picked, like, the first text I got was from my brother, and he was like, well, you guys are both wrong. And I was like, yeah, I know. Like, like, OBJ is not a Packer. In fact,
it's funny how I waited like 3 days to release the Packers pulse because I wanted to hear about the OBJ news, and then they said, okay, you know, he's not going to sign until Monday.
Right. Because
he wants to see what happens this weekend. So I was like, fuck it. I'll put it out. Put it out. It's all about wanting OBJ. And now I just feel like a dirty $2 whore because I hate OBJ. And now for the past 2 days.
Now you can get back to doing what the rest of the world does. And that's hate OBJ.
Yeah, but now there's a full podcast about me saying how I would take him in Green Bay. And there's posts out on Twitter. So now it's just etched in my fanhood forever now. I gotta live down the fact that I was on board with OBJ becoming a Packer.
Well, I will say this.
Shame on me.
Is this graphic accurate as far as what number he's going to choose?
Well, there is a 13 on the Rams, and I did do some research on this. So before I made it, there's obviously these are all mock-ups. So there was a few with 13, a few with 3. The guy that's number 13 changed his number to 13 this season. I can't imagine them being like, you know what, we're going to give you a third jersey number. And Odell wore 3 in college, so I think 3 is the way to go for Odell.
I still find it completely, completely disrespectful to Kurt Warner that anybody would take 13 after he retired. You know what I mean? Like, that guy brought you countless Super Bowls. He brought you the greatest show on turf. Like, that's a number you just shouldn't mess with. So I was unaware of the fact that there was a 13 already, and I was just hoping that Odell Beckham Jr. did the right thing. And it was like, don't take 13, take whatever college number he wore, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know that
Kurt Warner played on 3 teams, and I think he played on the Cardinals as long as he played on the Rams.
He did.
I don't know that he's necessarily a jersey retired guy because of the cup of coffee he was there for. So I don't agree with you on that regard. And eventually you're going to run out of numbers if they retire all these numbers.
No, I understand that. But when you bring a title to a city that has never had one, you know, before he got there, I don't know. Maybe it's
and by city, do you mean St. Louis? Because they don't even play in that city anymore. So listen, a franchise. Man. Yeah, listen, I'm all over that.
I'm just trying to talk down to OBJ's bitch ass, who is now officially chasing the ring. You saw the photo that Von Miller, shout out to Von Miller. I'm Von Miller, by the way, taking a screenshot of his conversation.
Also, shout out to Jarvis Landry saying, see you in the Super Bowl. Easy. You're playing the Browns, bro. It's not happening. Yeah. You're like 4-5.
Peoples Jones is going to really, you know, take the world by storm. And you know what? I hope I eat my words because I picked him up in another league because I might need him down the road. But OBJ, now, all right. This is very Netsy. This is very Lakers-y. This is the feeling that we're all starting to get, or at least I'm starting to get. Do you get that feeling too, that everybody just collaborated and said, let's go to LA, Hollywood, and win ourselves a title? I mean, are you starting to hate this team already because of that?
Well, I've already hated them. I think I definitely already hated them in the sense of, like, every single time the Packers have been involved on a guy, or even not involved, but just looking at it like, wow, I wish we could go after him, and knowing that they're not, the Rams somehow figure out a way to get him. But look, if you look at the list of the players that the Rams have acquired over the last, I guess since Sean McVay became the guy over there, what have they won?
Nothing.
You know, so all this is great. It's all bells and whistles, but until you get the actual ring, none of this matters. The bells and whistles is not the hardware they're looking for. I understand that now they're probably the favorite, but does Odell Beckham Jr. really make them the favorite? I would say that they were the favorite because of the Von Miller signing. I think Odell, what they really got now, Odell, to run my words back a little bit, obviously the Packers have a greater need for a guy like Odell than the Rams do. So for me to sit here and say that, oh, he's going to be the number 4 on the Rams, I firmly believe that, because they have Robert Woods, they have Kupp, and Van Jefferson, they like to get him involved deep. I'm not sure that Odell really has a role there. They cut DeSean Jackson because he asked for his release because he was not happy with the role he had there. I don't see Odell going in there and getting 3, 4, 5 targets a game even. Not even that, honestly. Who are they gonna? How are they gonna?
Is that, do you think it's an attention drawing thing, like more like a decoy type scenario?
Honestly,
like
it's a
when
money
Beckham's on the field, you have to do something. You have to account for him.
He could earn up to $4 million this season with the Rams. I think he got paid $750,000 signing bonus, $500K for the signing. But there's team laden incentives, so it's not even based on his performance. It's based on how the team does. So he got a really good contract.
That
he went for the money. And look, we talked about it yesterday, how the Packers made a veiled attempt where they really weren't all in on Odell and they did it just to appease the fan base. I'm not quite sure about that. I think the Packers just went into it like, look, we're going to be involved on this because we have to try to improve the roster, but we won't go any further. We're not going to go kiss Odell's ass. And the way Odell talked after, he was like, you know, the Rams really showed me that they wanted me. And it's like, bro, relax. You just left Cleveland. They didn't even want you. The Rams, I think McVay made a push. He called up Odell and told him how he'd use him. But what's going to happen in 2 weeks when he doesn't use him that way? Because it just doesn't work that way. You know, the game script gets dictated by how the game is going. Sean McVay could sit here and say, I'm going to draw up these plays for Odell. But when you have Cooper Kupp and Woods that know the system, I just don't see Odell being as involved as he would have been on the Packers. And the chance at the ring, I would say, is maybe greater because the roster that they have there. But, you know, the Rams haven't proven it. And the Packers have beaten the Rams in the playoffs as recent as last year.
Do you like this comparison from our boy Scott Simmons, who brings it on? OBJ to the Rams will be Antonio Brown to the Bucks. Like, very similar roles. Like, you do see flashes of good and flashes of Antonio Brown still being able to do what he does. You know what I mean?
Look, but Antonio Brown.
And I think Brown's way better than Beckham.
If you look at back at the Antonio Brown is 10 times the player OBJ was. And I'm not saying that lightly.
Was or look, is?
Was in the time. Look, Antonio Brown is not as good as he used to be, but Antonio Brown's numbers were on par with Jerry Rice for his first 8 seasons. Look at it.
Right.
He's missed 30 games over the last 2 years, I think, 3 years. And he still leads the NFL in touchdowns since he got into the league. So Antonio Brown's got some gaudy, gaudy stats when you look at his career numbers up to this point. Not even close. And honestly, when you look at Odell Beckham Jr., he can't stay on the field. So what's going to happen in 2 weeks when he can't even play? We'll see. I'm pissed off. If you can't tell, I'm bitter.
Yeah, no, you know what? I found myself hard to get any words in on that.
You know? So they have a slightly older, worse version of Van Jefferson to take Van Jefferson's spot.
I don't even think he takes Van Jefferson's spot. And I think this is a big thing. I think for him, for his sake, is this chasing the ring? Yeah, I want to say yes, because look, the world has went over to Hollywood and they want to be over there. But if he wanted to like continue his legacy and show people his worth, he probably should have went to Green Bay, to be honest with you. Like,
I feel like I'm going to talk shit about LeBron here, because I feel like LeBron had something to do with him going to LA. Now they could go out to dinner.
Aw, that's so
be
cute.
Friends. Free Odell. That got started by LeBron.
That's just wow. Wow. Good call. The free Odell crap started by LeBron James, and all of a sudden they're playing in the same goddamn city. How convenient. Odell Beckham Jr., I give the over under 3 weeks before he pulls up lame on a route and he's out for a couple weeks anyway. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where he signs, because he's half a man, half a season, as you've said time and time again. So we go from really good. What is this? When Kyle Curves, when in doubt, blame it on LeBron James. Absolutely. 100%. Period. Stop. So we go from talking about some high powered offense to a game last night that did not show any of that towards until the end.
No, there was definitely some high-powered offense in this one. Did you see it, bro?
Oh,
I know,
well,
everybody's been talking about it. A work of art.
I will show it. I will bring it up right now before we get into this, you know, the specifics of this game. The NFL needs to right the wrongs here. And the game is already in hand. The game is 22-10. The Dolphins beat the Ravens, right?
Poetry
give
in motion.
This man his touchdown, okay? Do the right thing, NFL. If you're watching this on the screen right now, give this man his touchdown. Yes, was he not an eligible receiver? Sure. By rule, is he allowed to touch the ball? No. But look,
it was like a pick. It was a screen. Gaskin was standing right next to him. He was like, nah, this one's mine, little man. And he fucking just snatches the ball out. Like, dude, do you not know the rules? And it was hilarious, though. Like, even his coaches couldn't even be mad at it.
A good pick fish comes in. Hashtag give him his moment. Yes, absolutely. Look, here's the thing. And it wasn't even just, I'll bring it back up real quick. It wasn't this part of it where he's extending the ball and it's 100% a touchdown, right? By rule, it's a touchdown if he's obviously an eligible receiver. But it's did anybody see the quick juke that he had? Like, This is a 350-pound man just juking somebody out of his cleats, and all of a sudden he just bolts for the end zone. Give this man his touchdown.
Also, shout out to the hit, because there was like a corner that upended him. That was a nice hit at the goal line.
Right, right. But in specifics to this game, Flores finally showed his defensive prowess. All right, he definitely took. Somebody said he'll take the lineman over OBJ. I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. A good comment here from Kyle Kerms. Brian Flores was basically like, "We're going to send six or seven every play because I don't think Lamar can read a blitz." That's true. Every time you saw Lamar drop back to pass, and this goes back to me saying that yes, he's got these crazy legs and he can run and he can. But I feel like every time this guy takes off, it feels like he's falling over already. Like his brain is working too fast for his legs almost.
The opposite, where his legs are working too fast for his brain.
Yeah, right, the opposite. But yesterday, there was plenty of times where he dropped back to pass, and right, there was guys in his face within nanoseconds, right? So shout out to the guys that are, you know, penetrating these A, B, and C gaps right up the middle, right? Just right.
Well,
up
bro, they were sending corners all night long. It was a corner blitz, a safety blitz. They were sending one guy from the secondary, it seemed like, on almost every single play. And when you blitz with speed, it's not just that they're blitzing with guys that could actually match Lamar with speed. So he couldn't get away. Great job by Miami's defense.
You know how sometimes when games go down like this, like even with the Cowboys game last week, there was a lot of people talking about Vic Fangio saying, "Oh, I got the blueprint now on how to beat the Dallas Cowboys."
And yeah, Steve Spagnuolo has the blueprint on how to beat Jordan Love. Same thing. That's what we saw. Honestly, it was very similar to that. They didn't blitz as much as Kansas City blitzed us. I think Kansas City is still blitzing Green Bay right now. That's how many times they blitzed.
He just called another.
But it was. They dialed it up at the perfect times. And even in situations where you would think that they would sit back a little bit, they didn't. They still blitz. And I love that aggression. I love seeing that, because you see too many defensive coordinators doing the opposite, where they get a comfortable lead, even if it's two touchdowns, and they change their whole game plan. No, send them.
This entire game was so ugly and so like lacking of any kind of action. The biggest offensive play was clearly the offensive lineman scoring, and then obviously it just trickled down. Now, when you look at this, and I'm not sure if our boy Jack, our resident Ravens head, is here right now watching or listening. I'm not sure, but if he is, does he have any kind of room to panic at this moment? Like, right before this game, we're talking Lamar MVP. We're talking the Ravens being the best in the AFC. We're talking all this stuff, and all of a sudden, the Dolphins come in and beat the brakes off them. In reality, when you look at that scoreboard, it was a total Dolphin win here. And you know, shout out to my mom, who tried to call me 15 times right before the show started to talk about her Dolphins. I'll get back to you, mom. But
do I think that it's that the Ravens fans or the Ravens in general should panic? To a degree, yes. But when you look at the AFC, the Bills just lost to the Jaguars. What team in the AFC is really going out there? The Cincinnati Bengals are now reeling after their big win over Baltimore. Really, show me the team in the AFC. The Chargers, maybe, right? There's a lot of question marks around their defense. Who? Chiefs? No.
Ready for my bold prediction?
Patriots. I mean, it's not
the Patriots. Like, that's the one team that makes me feel like they can take over now, because all the teams in front of them are reeling. You know,
yeah.
And leave it up to Bill Belichick to be like, "I saw this coming from a mile away, motherfuckers." You know what I mean? Like, he's the one that's coming in and saying, like, this is our time now. We got to strike now, because if you look at the Ravens record, 6-3, I'm pretty sure the Patriots are a game behind them, you know, in the overall thing. That's so much the AFC East.
And same thing with the Bills. They're right there. But at 6-3, that's not too much cause for concern. But what I was talking about yesterday with the Ravens is that even the games that they've won, it was a 2-point win over the Lions that took an 80-yard field goal. Then the Colts game where they were down 18 in the with 3 minutes to go in the third. So they've gotten beaten up a few times this year where they managed to win late. And it almost happened last night too, to be honest. There was a part of me that thought they were going to get that 3-and-out, but got to give your credit to Tua, man. I know that I'm not really a big fan of Tua.
I'm not
but the
either.
Way he came in yesterday, look, bro, he came in the second half, 160 yards, and that big, big fourth down or third down conversion, where maybe it wasn't even third down, but that broken play at the end of the game, that was a great call. I don't know who the offensive coordinator is on Miami, but look, when you're playing with nothing to lose, you could do things like that. And that's the way the Dolphins played yesterday.
I mean, like, Waddle, we lost Gooch. Oh, there we are. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Are we there? We're there. Okay. We're good, Gooch?
I'm good.
Okay. We're good. All right. So, yeah, we lost Waddle. I mean, we didn't lose Waddle. They lost Waddle. They didn't have a chance to bring down Waddle at times. He looks like he could be a prominent receiver in the league, but I'm looking at, see, this Tua thing. Maybe it's just like I can't get over the fact that there's like a lefty quarterback in the league. And maybe it just seems like it's a weirdly thrown ball every time he releases it because he's a lefty.
I agree with that 100%. Somewhat, like, there has been good lefty Steve Young, Mike Vick, but Tua just doesn't seem like he doesn't seem confident enough to me. Tua, even right. in his interviews after the game. But you know who I do think is going to be a stud, just by watching the game film that I've seen on him in a small sample size that we have. I think Bateman is going to be legit in this league. Maybe not right now, but don't look Bateman. He makes catches in traffic. All contested. Did you see the one-hander that he had?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, this kid's going to be special. Maybe not right now, but soon enough, Rashad Bateman's going to be a legit.
So the AFC, obviously, wide open. A lot of teams at the top, and a lot of teams are kind of struggling right now, and a lot of teams are going to take advantage of these teams struggling. So it's interesting to see how this plays out with the rest of the NFL slate, which we'll get into. First and foremost, shout-out to me for doing my due diligence. Can't find that piece of paper that had our things written on it, but we do have updated standings as of right now. We are dead locked. You and I are 64-68-1. That's incredible to me to think about the weeks that you've had and the weeks that I've had. Two out of the last 3 weeks, you've had some struggling weeks. You picked up a nice week last week,
bro,
2 weeks ago. Sorry.
I have 2 weeks where I'm completely shit, where I had 3 wins, and the rest of the weeks I've been above 500, except for maybe week one where I did bet. We're like,
yeah.
Average. I don't know what happened. I said it to you the other day. I was like, that was the worst Sunday that I've had in my entire life across the board. True. I lost every bet. The Packers lost. It was just a shitty day for me individually.
We will get into a couple games, then we'll take our break, but we'll start obviously with those Green Bay Packers, who as of right now, when you're listening to this and you're watching it live on Friday afternoon or Friday morning, technically Aaron Rodgers still on COVID protocol. So right now, technically, it's Jordan Love versus the return of Russell Wilson. Aaron Rodgers is probably the only quarterback, him, Tom Brady, a couple of these vets that probably don't need like a full week of reps to get going. We've said this already this week. The Packers are home in this one, so the Seattle Seahawks are going to Lambeau Field. I'm interested to see if the move is made. No practice, no problem. How do you feel like... Do you think Aaron Rodgers is under center on Sunday first before you pick the game and then pick the game right after that? With, you know what? I don't want to give you two scenarios because it's not fair. I mean, we got to pick the game.
Rodgers is going to play.
Oh, okay. So you're confident Rodgers plays.
Based on everything that I'm hearing out of Green Bay, is that he feels good. He's ready to go. They literally can't clear him yet. He would be cleared if it wasn't for the period that they have to wait. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, he has to wait for the 10 days. So Saturday is the only day that they could announce that he's ready to go. I think that that's a foregone conclusion at this point. Now, I have a question. Maybe if Kyle's still with us, do you think that point spread is going to move up a little bit if the Packers do, in fact, announce that Rodgers is playing? Obviously, right now it's up in the air, but Saturday night comes around and they say Rodgers is playing. I could fully expect this to go up at least 2 points, right?
Yeah. I mean,
Packers at home against the Seattle team. That even when Russ was here, they really weren't playing well. Their defense, he's fading Green Bay.
Uh-oh. Well,
that doesn't matter to me. He was so high on the Packers last week with Jordan Love, and they ended up covering. So this week, you could fade him all he wants. 8-1 against the spread. We talk about it. You land on black 8 times. Eventually, it's going to land on red. But all I'll right. take a 2-point win.
All right, so are we picking?
Obviously, I'm picking the Packers. The Seahawks get Chris Carson back. They get Russell Wilson back, but they don't get any help on defense, and that's where they've been struggling. They blitz a lot. I don't think they're going to blitz Rodgers the way they've been blitzing everybody else, and if they do, they're going to pay for it. A.J. Dillon, Aaron Jones, fade the Packers all you want. I'm riding with my boys, baby.
Yeah, I'm also sticking with you on this one. I think Aaron Rodgers goes, and when he does go, he's gonna play with a little bit of that angry Aaron Rodgers where you don't want, like, hey, NFL, dear NFL, this is for effing with me right now. I'm going to hang 40 on the Seattle Seahawks. Now, look, you mentioned Chris Carson coming back. That is not confirmed yet. He's got to practice a little bit. He's still on the IR as of right now. But Russell Wilson coming back, that's going to happen. That obviously helps out guys like DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, and all that, and the entire offense. They probably will give him a game. All right, I don't see 40 points out of the Packers. I don't. But like what I do see is probably the Packers scoring probably 30, and Seattle maybe 20. So
the Packers have been fairly dominant over Seattle at Lambeau. of late.
And we want the ball because we're going to score, right? The age old highlight. But anyway, Kyle says fade the pack, hashtag fade the pack. But he does think that if Rodgers plays, the line moves all the way to six, almost a touchdown. So that's interesting.
So if you do want to bet the pack, I would bet them tonight.
Yeah, you get them at the low number now if you want to bet the Packers. And Gooch is our resident Packer guy. He hosts the Packers Pulse, which episode 2 is now available, featuring all his love and desire for OBJ. So you can go check that out. But he also is, you know, in the know. He's in Packers Nation. What is it? Go Pack Go. I don't even know the hashtag for the Packers. But anyway, we're both taking the Packers. Moving on to another game that obviously I have super duper interest in, and that is the Dallas Cowboys taking on the Atlanta Falcons. Now the Falcons coming off, they're feeling themselves a little bit. They get the big win over the Saints. The Cowboys are coming off probably their worst game that of the season. And I'm not saying probably, it was their worst game of the season. The spread to me is way too high. Like, it's way too high. The Dallas Cowboys were favored by 10 last week and lost and got blown out, like completely blown out. I don't like this line. I do like this game.
Also, I think the Falcons record is wrong.
No, they're 4-4.
No, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, they're 4-4. They're trying to get to the right side of 500 for the first time since 2017. The only reason why I know that is because I did an interview with a Will McFadden on the Cowboys All About the Star podcast that we have here on the network. So I did that the other day. So that's out and available. So if you're a Falcons fan, you want to listen to a little bit of Falcons insight. He does write for the Falcoholic, which is a clever name, but he does do that. And last night I did a debut pilot podcast for Blogging the Boys podcast network. And I'm finding out that Mike McCarthy, after losing by double digits, has a 61% winning percentage after that. So the chances of the Dallas Cowboys bouncing back and getting his
game.
That's
such an Aaron Rodgers stat, by the way. Thank you.
I don't.
You can thank Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. Mike McCarthy should be thanking Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre for that stat. Let's stop. That's not a Mike McCarthy stat. That's pretty much Mike McCarthy's entire stat. Everything that he has that's good is thank you to Aaron Rodgers.
And not only Brett that, Favre. Ready for this? Not only that, and this is a testament to Aaron Rodgers, is that in that stat, in the 61% winning percentage that he has, he's won 61% of the games the following time, right? 32% of those games he won by double digits the following week, meaning you had an angry Aaron Rodgers lighting up.
And,
the next game.
To mention, like, all the losses probably came with Matt Flynn and Seneca Wallace, Scott Tolzien when Rodgers was hurt. So like the after the double digit loss the following week, he didn't even have Rodgers. So those, the 35% or 30% of the games that he took to Ellen, like if he had Rodgers in those games, his numbers would be like 80%. After a double-digit loss.
All right, but with that being said, I'll throw it. I'll pick the game for myself here. You're never gonna find me picking again. Like, the Cowboys should win this game. The numbers, it does scare me a little bit after last week, but the Cowboys have that offense that could potentially put up the big numbers. And the only reason why this number might get covered is potentially a backdoor cover at the end of the game. Give me the Cowboys in this game and giving them to score 30 plus. So
the Falcons stink still. They got nobody to throw the ball to. Matt Ryan it's like depressing him watching him play football. I can't figure out how he's still, they're 4-4 after their bad start, but it's partially their schedule. The Falcons haven't beaten anybody good. I said this about Denver last week and they ended up pasting Dallas. So I'm going to say it again, and hopefully I mush you, even though I don't believe in that. I'm going to go with Dallas because Atlanta hasn't beaten anybody good yet. Until hopefully next week.
I like it. So no, you have the local game next? No, you don't. So we'll finish up the slate for the after, you know, obviously we covered our teams. We covered some of the teams that are close to our hearts. Let's take a little break. When we come back, we got the rest of the picks for NFL week number 10.
Bro, have you seen me moving around? I'm looking for my charger, and it's a good time for the break because I'm on like 1%. So
Let's go to break. You know, myself and Gooch are both getting a little older. One of the first things to go is your vision. Thank goodness for our hookup over at Absolute Eyewear in Woodbridge, New Jersey, right on Main Street next to the train station. They have glasses for all ages, all budgets. They have safety glasses, sports glasses. They are a full-service powerhouse offering eye exams and even free lenses for the kids. They work with BCBS, AAA, AARP, giving massive discounts. They're open 5 days a week, closed on Wednesdays and Sundays. Call 732-326-3937 to get your first pair of Ray-Ban, Burberry, Coach, Polo, you name it, they got it. Go see Craig and Johnine right now.
Hey, Chop Sports family, it's Jimmy Palumbo here. I am doing a stand-up show on November 27th, Saturday of Thanksgiving weekend at 7:30 p.m. at the Carteret Performing Arts and Event Center with great comedian Mike Marino. Phone number 877-849-2722 for tickets. Again, 877-849-2722, November 27th, 7:30. Jimmy Palumbo and Mike Marino live from Carteret, Central New Jersey's in the house.
The most smoothest, the smoothest transition I've ever seen you do is that. Listen, we it is 2021, right? We live in a world where all these new things, MacBooks, iPhones, whatever, they all have these massive charges to them, right? And their battery life is relatively good. How do you live in a world right now, Goosh, where you let things drain to the end? I have panic attacks when my shit goes into the yellow, like the yellow where like, okay, you're almost dead.
Bro, I live on the edge with my chargers.
Clearly, because I can't. I mean, I can't do it. There's no way. There's
my
no
phone,
way.
My phone's on like 6% right now.
See, that makes me panic. Like, my phone dies and I'm a mess. So anyway, our next game on the slate is another very big spread. Justifiably so, I think. This game's in the desert. The Cardinals coming in with a nice 8-1 record. It was no Kyler, no Hopkins, no problem last week. They get the job done. And obviously they're taking on the Panthers who are reeling, but they have this feel good story all of a sudden where Cam Newton, which we didn't even talk about in the open, which again, it's one of those things where we all saw it. Let's talk about it now. Cam Newton is now the Carolina Panthers quarterback. Will he start on Sunday? Very highly unlikely. So they were going to go with PJ Walker, XFL legend, PJ Walker. Where do you have this game, Gooch? Obviously, again, the Cardinals are the best team record wise in the NFC. The Panthers started off 3-0. They've lost a lot since then. Where do you see this one going?
Maybe I'm going to be picking this game with my heart a little bit, but I just think that Arizona's time is coming. It's going to start to tail off a little bit. Okay. Maybe that's just a hunch based on what I've seen out of them previous seasons. Look, Arizona's the better team, obviously. Right now, Sam Darnold's hurt. P.J. Washington's probably going to be the guy that gets the nod in this one, I would imagine. Walker. So P.J. Walker, same him fucking too. Thing. Same shit. But because of the Cam news, maybe Carolina's feeling a little good about themselves. I don't know why they would be because I think Cam sucks. And side note, what's up with Cam's social media posts? Does anybody see the fucking symbolism? What's going on? It seems like he's the devil.
He might be Lucifer. He might be. But every time I see it, he talks in code. And then like he did like this. I think he did. I'm not a Marvel guy, but who's the guy that like the guy?
Thanos.
Yeah. Or
so Tom Brady.
Basically. Yeah. Basically. So basically that guy did a lot of memes with that one. See, I got to catch up with my Marvel. But anyway, you didn't make a pick. This is what happened last week. We got off on a tangent. Do you think the Cardinals?
I'm going to take the 10 points here. I'm taking Carolina.
Okay. Carolina is the pick. I think that this team will start to feel good eventually. Not this week. PJ Walker is going to have his problems. I think getting back home, getting Kyler back, getting Hopkins back, getting everybody back. Give me the Cardinals here to cover the big number. I hate double digit spreads in the NFL. I think they're kind of crappy because NFL teams are NFL teams. You know what I mean? Like I have this feeling where, you know, nobody should be favored by a certain amount of points. You know what I mean?
Look at the way the last week went. And then even yesterday, upsets are official now. It's officially upset season. The NFL is about to shift. You're going to see some teams that you thought were real good turn to shit and then vice versa. So I'm interested to see which of those teams it is. Hopefully Arizona is one of them.
All right, moving on. Interconference game here. The Chargers coming off a loss to Bill Belichick and the Patriots. They're 5-3. They're going to be taking on the Minnesota Vikings, who are 3-5, who are coming off of back-to-back losses, obviously, to the Cowboys and then the Ravens in tragic form last week. I don't buy into the Vikings being a good football team. I'm sorry. This is right now, to me, they're favored by 3.5. I'm taking the Chargers here without question because I just feel like this is the kind of game that they get right, that Justin Herbert has one of those big games. Look, I'm sorry. If Cooper Rush is doing his job like and putting up some big numbers, gaudy numbers off your defense, Justin Herbert's going to dice you up. That's where I'm going with this one. Give me the Chargers all day.
I'm going to fade you on this one, Dave. I'm eventually going to pick the Minnesota Vikings, and they're going to prove me right. I've picked them 2 weeks in a row, and they've burned me. This time it's going to be – I feel like these teams are very similar matched, where there's several holes on both sides of the ball, but at the same time they put up points. I think it's going to be a shootout. And eventually, like I said, Minnesota's got to get one of these late games where they're tied up or they're close. They lost to Cooper Rush, then they lost to – who'd they get beat by? Baltimore last week.
Mark Jackson,
It's time for Minnesota to right the ship. I'm going to take them getting the 3.5 because even if they lose, I think it's going to be a good game.
All right. Moving on. The Titans, who are obviously coming off a big win with a no Derrick Henry, no problem kind of win. They're going to be taking on the New Orleans Saints. This game's in Tennessee. The spread is Titans -3, favored against, again, Trevor Siemian, right? Or is this going to be the other kid? The hell's his name? Wow. We always
Taysom drop Hill.
Taysom Hill. I was going to say, we always drop the ball on this kid's name because he's not like your household quarterback. But I'm not sure of this situation. I do know that Kamara might not play in this game. He has not practiced all week. So that has to be a factor. The Titans showed up last week. They're playing for Vrabel. They're 6-2. They're one of the teams that we didn't even mention in the AFC when we were talking about the upper echelon teams in the AFC, a couple minutes ago. Where do you got this one, Gooch? In Tennessee against?
I'm not picking against the Titans right now with how physical that defense is playing. Everybody looks at the Titans like, wow, their defense isn't good. It wasn't good, but the last couple weeks, more specifically the last six quarters, that defense is playing real, real good. They completely embarrassed the Rams. Now the Rams have Odell, so they're good, obviously. But that Rams offense got stifled from the gate against this Tennessee defense. When the defense is playing that well going into the second half of the season, it's going to be hard for me to pick against them. I understand that they lost Derrick Henry and that was part of their identity. But at the same time, look, that offense is clicking still. They played well last week. I think it's feeding off their defense at this point. They blitz a lot. Mike Vrabel just has them playing tough. He's a good coach when it comes to game management, all that. Interesting matchup with Vrabel against Peyton. I think that's the best matchup we have all week. But for the reasons you mentioned about the Saints with their quarterback question marks and then Kamara's injury situation, up and down defense, I think the Saints might have shot their load in the Tampa game, and now you're going to see the non-Jameis Winston team start to struggle a little bit.
Yeah, that's where I'm at with this Saints team. I think that their quarterback play is really going to start showing its colors. If what the Titans did to a Matt Stafford last week in L.A., I firmly believe that the Titans can do a lot even better than that at home. So give me the Titans -3. This one's an easy one to me. I think the Saints are going to finally start coming down to reality that they don't have their quarterback. You know what I mean? Like it's going to start to catch up. They have a nice little buffer right now. They're 5-3. So it's a nice buffer to have, but I think the rest of the year, whether it be Siemian or whether it be Hill, I don't care who it is. I think the Saints are going to struggle. The only reason why I think the Saints could have a decent season going forward is their defense shows up. That's really it. But give me the Titans all day.
Also, the Titans are already 7-2.
The Titans are already 7-2.
Yeah, I didn't update the graphic.
All right, so 7-2 Titans. So there might be 8-2. Let's see. A team that just beat the brakes off my beloved Dallas Cowboys get another nope, that can't be right. Is this right?
What?
The Broncos and the Eagles?
Now it's got me fucked up.
No, I'm only thinking.
Yeah, I think it is right.
Okay, yeah. I could have sworn they played 2 weeks ago, but that's wrong on my behalf. But the Broncos are staying in the NFC East when they're playing, and they get back home. They're feeling themselves. They just beat the brakes off of the Denver Broncos, and now they got a very, very piss-poor Eagles team. There's the thumbs up there for the confirmation thumbs up that this team is playing this team. That's good. So the Broncos are favored -3 at home over this Philadelphia Eagles team. Gooch, bro, if I had to pick a team that you've picked more than any other team in the NFL this year, it's been the Philadelphia Eagles. Are you going to ride with them for the 10th week in a row? I don't feel like you've ever picked against them.
I'm going to take the Eagles again. Yes, I think everybody's riding high on Denver because of their big win last week. I'll take Philly. Not going to bet it, but I'm going to take it here. And every time I do that, I fucking lose. So Denver's probably going to win, but I'll go with Philly getting the points.
Okay, the way I see this game, and I know it's only November, right, or the beginning of November at least, and now we're not in the middle of November yet, but if the Eagles or any of these teams in the NFC East get to a 7th loss, the best they can finish is 10-7, and that means they would have to win out to win the NFC East. This is the death blow for the Philadelphia Eagles in 2021. The Broncos are feeling themselves. Tim Patrick, a little banged up. It's okay. Courtland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, that running game. Give me the Broncos all day long. I feel like this number might be even a little low. I think the Broncos actually take this wholeheartedly, you know, like maybe a touchdown or more. Give me the Broncos. They're feeling themselves a little bit. I believe in a little thing called momentum. Give me the Broncos all day, which is so funny. As we talk, and you heard in pre when I was listening back to that week 8 picks, you're like, wow, you know, it's so great to sound so confident and be so wrong.
Yeah, listen to the Friday podcast on Monday if you really want to feel shitty about yourself.
So, speaking of a shitty team, the Washington football team, oh boy, are hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Bucs are coming to town. The Bucs are 9.5-point favorites on the road, ladies.
Do you
want to
hear something funny?
Here we go.
Very, very funny. When we did the games and we were going through the entire schedule, week one, week two, week three, I got to this game and I actually picked Washington to win.
Well, no. That's not a hard, far-fetched idea, because you and AJ in your preseason picks had the Washington football team winning 11 games.
12.
So 12. That's right. 12 games. My God. Blow my head off on that one.
They but already now, can't. They have to. They could win out and do worse.
They already can't win. So official is that your pick of 12 wins cannot physically happen. But does this win happen? Do they come close? Can Tyler Heinicke pull within this number at the very least, or the Bucs just going to be the Bucs?
Wait, Tampa Bay is coming off of a bye.
Yes,
and a loss.
And a loss.
Not a good situation for the football team.
This might be the easiest pick if you're still. I know the Chop Sports Survivor Pool is over, but if you're in one and you have not used the Bucs yet, this is the biggest layup of all time.
I will say though, the Bucs have been playing to their opponent's level, much like the Ravens do.
Not today, not on this day, my friends. This is going to be a Brady come out party. So if you have any Bucs in your starting lineup, I'm talking Fournette, Evans, everybody. Gronk might even play. Like, just get all your Bucs in the lineup. The Washington football team had this highly touted defense going into this year, and it turns out they stink. So I'm not worried about the Washington football team. Sure as shit ain't worried about the spread. The Bucs are going to just beat the brakes off them. It's going to be quite ugly. Prop Beaver says Washington is going to the NFC Championship game. The Prop Beaver alias is AJ Bascone, and that is completely wrong. So, yeah, I'm sure. Let them get Fitz back. I heard that that's a thing. That could be a thing come, like, December. Merry Christmas. Santa's coming home, and it might be Fitzpatrick. But anyway, moving on. The Pittsburgh Steelers have been playing very good football lately. After their slow start, they get back home, and they get to play the 0-8 Detroit Lions. Now, everybody, I don't know how many times I've picked the Lions to finally win a game or at least cover. It's been a long time. It's been 8 weeks worth of me saying, well, not so much eight, because even when they started playing tough, I'm like, you know what? Maybe this team's got something going here. Maybe they can cook, but they can't. They do sign Josh Reynolds as a new receiver for a new toy.
Imagine getting cut and being like, yo, all I got to do is clear waivers. I could go wherever I want. And then you fucking wake up the next day and you're like, fuck. Agent texts you. He's like, Detroit claimed you. And you're like, fuck.
Yeah, you God know what the best it. Part about that is? The best part about that is that
he's reunited with Jared Goff.
I was just going to say that. It was probably Jared Goff who went up to the coach and said, Coach, listen, don't let him clear. This kid's a stud. Let's get him on this roster. It will bring us to the next level.
So what you're saying is Jared Goff hates Josh Reynolds, and he's like, fuck him. I hate him so much. I'm bringing him here with me. Basically,
I'm not going alone in this fight, you son of a bitch. I'm not going down with this shit by myself. So, yes, Josh Reynolds is the new WR1 over there in Detroit. Gooch, how do you see this one playing out? The Steelers obviously playing good football as of
late. The Steelers are playing better football of late, but with the 8.5-point spread at home, this is at home. I didn't make this graphic wrong, right?
I feel like
they're begging you to take Pittsburgh. So I'm going to fade that, and I'm going to take the Lions, because I think 8.5 for a team that's playing the way Pittsburgh's been playing lately, they have some decent wins. Nah, man, not going to happen this week. The Lions are 4-4 against the spread. So it's not like they suck completely. They have covered some point spreads. I'm going to go with Detroit because they fight hard and they bite kneecaps.
They're biting kneecaps. 0-8, 8.5-point dogs on the road. I've been doing it for a long time. I've been trying to pull through for these Lions, but I think the Steelers might be too much for them. It might be close at the start, but I think Big Ben is finally, like, really happy to be a quarterback in Pittsburgh again. I think this whole team, Najee Harris coming into his own, they're gonna cover this number. I think the Steelers get this one fairly easily, and the Lions moved to 0-9. And the problem is now, you look at that college. Like, I haven't looked at any.
No,
any.
The Lions are gonna definitely be 0-9, regardless of whether they cover or not.
No, I'm just saying 0-9 going into the fact that, like, you know, I'm wondering if there's a quarterback that's jumping off the charts, and there's really not, apparently, in the NFL. So, like, they have Jared Goff. Are they sold with Jared Goff? Like, the sexy pick is going to be probably an offensive lineman next year in the draft. You know, they got to protect this kid or maybe get the biggest playmaker. I don't know, but they got to do something, and they're probably going to win that sweepstakes of being the number one overall pick, unless the Jets keep falling. But the Jets get their legend back. Mike White is slated to start this game. It is a massive, massive number for this game to be in New York. The Jets are favored. I mean, are dogs by 13 points. The Bills coming in, obviously playing good football. Not the greatest football. Their records is who they are right now. Listen, man, I'll pick this game first. I was so excited to read that Mike White was back. You know, whatever injury he sustained against the Colts, I think it was something with his forearm, some kind of something. Mike White's back. This is gonna cause some serious, serious controversy in New York, because if Mike White, the journeyman Mike White, comes in and beats the Bills by any stretch, you know, you're gonna start thinking, is Zach Wilson even remotely in this conversation? Yes, did they burn a big pick? Did they burn a big pick on a quarterback that they may never use? Sure, but you know what? When you're in New York, you got to play the hot hand. When you're in New York and you have this fan base going crazy for a guy. Literally, they called it like Thursday White football. You know, as racist as that sounds, it was still a thing when they played the Colts. I know he went down with injury, and all the Jets quarterbacks seem to be okay and competent and throwing some decent yardage.
So you're picking the Jets.
I am 1,000% picking the New York football Jets.
Yeah, I'm picking the Jets as well, because the Bills make me fucking sick, Dave. Honestly, I've bet the Bills first half 2 weeks in a row, and they've completely shit the bed. They ruined my Survivor pick. I've watched the Bills every week because I've been losing money on them seemingly every week. Even though they did cover late against Miami, that game was just embarrassing to watch for them. The Bills offense isn't as good as I thought they were going to be. And I even thought they were going to regress this year. Josh Allen's not making the throws that he's been making. I know that it's early. They're 5-3 still. The second half, the Bills could come on, but I just don't buy what the Bills are selling right now. I don't really buy what anybody in the AFC is selling right now at the top. So Jets, and in his head, he should have been the first overall pick. So Mike White is a stud in his own mind. All you really need is confidence and a little bit of ability in this league, and you could go places. I like Mike White. I like the fact that I have to eat my words on talking shit about him 3 weeks ago. Mike White is a stud. And when I say stud, I mean like he's a career backup quarterback in the league. So there's not really any controversy as far as I'm concerned.
My friend.
But for now, Mike White is going to cover this spread. And in my mind, he's a stud. In his
All right,
line.
And of course, our resident handicapper, Mr. Kyle Kerms, the sauce himself. I am on the Jets so damn hard, and I think we all are. I think we're both picking the Jets. Dude, all right, this is going to sound crazy. 13-point dogs. Give me the Jets money line. The Jets win this game right
still,
here. You're hearing it first.
They're still the Jets, Dave.
I don't give a shit. The Jets win this game outright. Go cash in. How can you cash in? Go on chopsportsmedia.com. Click on Jamie Foxx's pretty face. Go to BetMGM. Risk-free bet. If you're going to do a risk-free bet, why not have it be the New York football Jets and really cash in? Because that money line's got to be like plus freaking, I don't even know what. It's got to be some serious good cash. Go do that. And if you lose, do not come back to me and say, I can't believe I listened to you. So we'll move on to the
Jets are plus 500.
Plus 500 to win. My goodness. Put that hundo on the Jets and cash in right now. So anyway, the Patriots, the hottest team.
Don't do it.
Yeah. Don't put your mortgage on it or anything like that. Just, you know, put a little bit of fun money on it. Why not, man? Why not?
Just take the 13 points and fucking call it a day, because the Jets ain't winning that game.
All right. Well, anyway, going to the Patriots, who seem to be relatively the hottest team in the AFC right now, coming off a nice win on the road. They're going to be taking on the Browns, who, again, lost Odell Beckham. They played better without him. We all saw that. This one's a toss-up. This one's going to be tight. The Patriots are favored by 2 in Foxborough. Where are you going with this one, Gooch?
I'm not picking against Bill right now, baby. I'm a fucking huge Patriots guy. You kidding me? I've been fucking riding the Patriots the last two decades. What's going to make me stop now? Mac Jones show is going to keep rolling. And honestly, Cleveland is reeling right now because they lost their star player. No, Cleveland sucks right now. I don't like Baker. I'm not going to pick them. Their defense is really good, and that could cause some problems. But for now, until I see otherwise, the Patriots play good football week in, week out. The Browns have been a little more inconsistent in terms of their play, even though the records are the same. I go with New England in this one at home.
Yeah, I'm taking the home. What's up?
Who would have thought that we would have the Patriots favorite against the Browns ever, right? That's such a weird thing. I'm joking, obviously. It's crazy that people even think the Browns could ever sniff a win in New England. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't foresee that happening. I am riding with Mac Jones, the Mac Daddy himself. He's going to get this win. His swag is going to pick up a little bit. And don't look now. Don't look now. But if everything plays out the way I think it's going to play out and the Jets get a win and the Dolphins got their win, whatever, that's fine. AFC East, look out. The Patriots with a win and a Bills loss will be tied for first place after 10 weeks of football. Get me some of Bill Belichick.
Have they played yet?
The Bills and the Patriots? I don't know. We've picked so many.
I don't think that they've played yet. And it's a possibility they still have two matchups left down the stretch in both cold weather games. Maybe we'll get snow in both of them.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I can't wait for the first snow game, by the way.
I'm looking outside now. It's just piss poor out there with rain, but like just give me a couple of degrees less and we're looking at some snow over here.
Imagining that's answering my question. No, they have not played. Yeah.
Bills still play New England twice. Wow. So, and not only that, they're going to play them twice, both in December. Here come the snow. So, we'll go to the Colts, who are coming off a big win over the legend that is Mike White and the rest of the quarterbacks on the Jets roster. They're coming off a win. The Jaguars, who have come off their biggest game of the season in that barn burner by beating the Buffalo Bills, and which made Gooch just a sick individual. Colts are big-time favorites here. Another 10-plus spread. They're favored by 10.5 in Indy. How do you feel like this one's going to play out? I got a weird feeling about this, but I'll let you go first.
I think the Colts are a better team than their record says. They're in every fucking game. Even the Rams game, they almost won that one late. They're getting the Jaguars at a time where everyone thinks the Jaguars are seemingly like a competent football team. They're not. They still have Urban Meyer. They're still only fucking throwing the ball for like 120 yards a game. The Colts defense is really good against the run. They have stars all over the field on defense. Carson Wentz has been playing a little bit better. Honestly, the Tennessee game last week where the second half, he looked like shit, but he did light it up in the first half. I don't think that Carson Wentz is as bad. I think he's finally healthy a little bit. And there's some playoff spots in the AFC that are completely up for grabs. I don't think they could catch Tennessee in a division, but outside of that, like the Colts are still looking to make a late push at the playoffs, and Jaguars are just getting them at a bad time because they're desperate and they're home. I go with the Colts in this one.
This is one of those big spreads where I feel like the Jags can run with them. I do. I after last week of shutting down Josh Allen and that entire Bills offense, the Colts offense is not the Bills offense. The Bills offense was built better. The Colts present a problem on the ground. I think Jonathan Taylor is one of those guys that are just, he's a game wrecker. He can definitely win games.
I think you could make the argument that the Colts offense is more complete than the Bills offense right now. The Bills running game, lack of running game, is going to fuck with them the rest of the way, especially as things get colder and you need to rely on things like that more.
The offense starts at the quarterback position, and Carson Wentz doesn't even sniff the jockstrap of Josh Allen. Not even close. Not even close.
I'm curious to know what Josh Allen's numbers look like this year.
Sure, go ahead. Not great. Go ahead and look them up. And this is what our new intern, who we're probably going to hire after today, he will be the one looking this stuff up. But give me the Jaguars here, man. I don't like Urban Meyer. I think he's a piece of shit. But he is 2-1 since the infamous lap dance. And I think that might have turned the table for the Jaguars. Give me the Jaguars to probably lose the game, but get a little closer. And Carson Wentz, a couple nasty throws here and there. He'll turn the ball over. Carson Wentz is not the same dude that he was in his potential MVP season. He's not – what do you got?
Carson Wentz is having as good, if not slightly better season than Josh Allen statistically right now. So –
Has three less wins. So that's my big stat. So
oh, understand. I get it. I get it. But that's not what we were talking about. We're talking about the offense. Buffalo's defense has been lights out, right? So I'm just going to say here that Josh Allen is better than Carson Wentz, but Don't think just because he's got the name value that Carson Wentz and the Colts offense isn't playing as good as the Bills offense.
This has nothing to do with name value. If anybody's name value jumps off the charts, you're going to listen. You're going to hear for Carson Wentz's name value to be more than Josh Allen.
Carson Wentz, you think of a ginger pussy. And I don't know if that is going to fly, but like, I'm not like, wow, Carson Wentz is a star. Josh Allen's a star.
I'm just saying, like, people know if you went out and polled 100 non-football fans, you're right, non-football fans, I guarantee you more people would know who Carson Wentz was than Josh Allen. That's just me. It could be bold. That could be a bold statement, but let's do it. I'm going to find 100 random people. So anyway,
100 random football fans. They're going to be like, yeah, I know both. What's your point? Everyone knows both.
I said non-football fans.
Ask my mom. You're like,
your mom's a football fan.
That's true.
You're right. So she's a legend. She knows shit, you know? All right. So is this the Sunday Nighter? Or did we blow through the Sunday Nighter? Like, at some point. This might be the Sunday. I don't know. In any event, the Las Vegas Raiders are 5-3. You talk about a team that has been through more shit than anybody in the league. The Chiefs are going on the road, and they're actually favored on the road by 2.5, taking on the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, me, it is a Sunday Nighter. Okay, cool. So, my producer in my ear just told me that. So, the Chiefs are a favorite on the road, 2.5. Wow, look at this. We got Dino, the pick bish. Raiders win, period. Not only this, betting my car on it. Dino.
Look, this is one of those money lines that I'll get behind because they're a home team getting points against a team that has no business giving points to anybody on the road. And typically, the Raiders have been playing the Chiefs well over the last couple seasons. I don't know why this is one of those things where the public is going to fucking jump all over the Chiefs because it's less than a field goal. I like the Raiders in this one a lot. I bet the Raiders.
I like the Raiders too, but I do want to preface this, Dina. Let's not bet any cars. You need that car to get to your brand new studio coming. Your brand new office.
Speaking of, I finally there was ice broken in the Cold War tension yesterday in the studio. No, and she just said, you know how it happened. She asked me if I knew somebody named something Chris DeCaro, and I was like, no, why? And she was like, because I have somebody that keeps on leaving me bad reviews. She thinks that that's how the conversation started. She's like, are you having people go on and leave bad reviews on my Google account? I said, no, but that's a great idea. So tomorrow when you wake up, there's going to be a couple more.
Can you imagine, bro? Great. Like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. She actually thinks we're that low to do that? That's such a scummy thing to do. I hate people like that.
And I was it happened to me. I would never do something like that.
If you go on Google, listen.
No, I'm not. I would never do that. I would never do that.
All right, yeah, good job, Dina. Bet Kyle's car. If he has a car. I don't even know. I don't know the situation over there. There's just so much money. They're wiping their asses over there with money. I'm wondering if they all drive Benzes at this point. But anyway, I will say this. As far as the Cold War that's happening over there, I would never in a million years ever leave a bad review. I'm always the one that's like, hey, if you can help me out and leave a good review, that'd be great. I'll do that. You got to be a miserable human being to go online and say this place sucks. I hate it. Service sucks. You know what? I'll just your tip will dwindle. If I don't like how you're treating me, you'll know.
Yeah, I won't even do that. I'm such a pussy, dude. I won't even complain. If something went wrong, I'll be like, no, it's fine. It's fine. 25%, of course. I'll get Ashley be like, what are you doing? Not that she doesn't want me tipping good. That's not the case. But because I don't complain about my steak that's bleeding still, and I'm not one of those well done guys. But suffer through it. I'll just move the food around my plate and be like, they'll be like, oh, was it good? I'll be like, oh yeah, it was great. You can't fucking see that I didn't take a bite. Like, why are you asking me that? You're embarrassing me.
You can't see that the whole T-bone is still intact.
Why are my mashed potatoes bleeding, by the way? Seriously, that happened.
You would never have this problem if you had the Sturge diet, which is consistent of normally, from what people have said in the past, dough, sauce, and cheese. Any combo of that, you're golden, man. You don't have to, you can't screw that up. You can't screw that up, but in any event, doesn't matter. You really can't. I mean, unless you're 7-Eleven and you put cardboard with ketchup on it and call it pizza, that's where I draw the line.
So what's your favorite boxed pizza, freezer pizza? Ilio's?
Dude, you want to hear something crazy? when I grew up, I mean, that's how I gained
the weight. Like a McCain's pizza bagel guy?
No, the weight really started to pile on around sixth grade when Elio's Pizza came into my life, right? But then down the line, I became such a fan of the ShopRite brand. It was bigger. It was a bigger chunk of pizza. The Elio's was this little sliver, and I would tear through a box of three. Think about this, though. If you tore through an Elio's box of pizza, in your mind, I can't believe I just ate an Elio's box, right? But in reality, it's the size of three normal slices of pizza. So
if you leave an Elio's pizza out for 40 years, it doesn't even change anything. There's no mold. It's like one of those McDonald's situations where you could just leave it there and it stays good. It could go to outer space and you don't even have to cook it. It's good to go. That's Elio's, bro. I did that test, by the way, not on purpose. I just cleaned my room when I was 17 and I pulled out and there was an Elio's from 8 years ago in there. I was I'll heat this up.
That's so funny. Did you just eat sofa pizza? Yes, I did. Anyway, Dina, trust me, all over it. I kind of want pizza now. Welcome to my everyday life. Every day. There was a point, and you'll know this actually, now that you're moving on in December, you'll find out real quick that, we've actually limited it since AJ left. When AJ was here, it was just constant. Even though before
that's AJ, how we paid AJ. That's we paid how him we paid with AJ. I was like, it was like, you're AJ, paying, do you want me to give you a chicken Caesar wrap today? Can we split it? Or I'm fucking broke.
Dude, the Sauce Network is paying him in cold hard cash. Meanwhile, Chop Sports doing as good as we're doing financially.
Oh, and being that you guys wipe your ass with money over there, Dina, when you come in, we are out of toilet paper, so make sure you bring some and just leave a nice stack next to the shitter for me.
That would be fantastic. So yeah, even before AJ got there, it was Pistol Pete, Production Pete. We were ordering pizzas by the dozen every day. It was ridiculous. That's why the bank account was like boop 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 boop, and I was like, oh my god, we got to stop this shit. Then AJ left. And then I feel like we both are now starving ourselves when we're at the studio. Nobody eats anything until I leave. And then that's that. It's a money saver at the end.
And now we got this thing that we're doing on Jimmy's show where he's checking in his weight and he wants me to do it every Monday. I'm like, Jimmy, I don't really gain or lose weight. Even though I did kind of.
Coach, you've been the same size for 10, 11 years that I've known you.
Yeah, but it's crazy, bro.
There's never been a differential.
No, there has been. I'll show you. I could just show you. It's right now you see me every day, so you don't notice the fluctuation. But if I showed you a picture of me when I first started, I was in shape. Chop Sports has completely ruined everything that I had going. I'm a fucking loser. Now all I do is sit in this seat and I'm fucking posting social media posts that I don't even do that anymore. I'm just looking for the right one to post, but never actually post it. And all I do is eat shit food. And then I'll starve myself all day. I'll have 4 cups of coffee. I'll go home trying to figure out why I'm going to explode with anxiety, and then I'll eat shitty food, and then I'll go to bed and I'll wake up and be like, why do I feel like shit in the morning? It'll be because I ate shitty food, wake up, do the same thing over again. Also, the micro dosing with weed hits all day hasn't been great either.
Do you know, fun fact, that my daughter is now programmed. When I say goodnight to her, literally goodnight, goodnight, Stella, have a great night, sleep tight. She goes, I love you. Pizza's in the oven. I'm like, holy shit, she knows what I'm having for dinner. That's insane to me. And she doesn't even have to see it. It's incredible.
Wait,
she's incredible.
What time does Stella go to bed?
Typically we try to get her going to bed. The bedtime process has been a nightmare lately, but 8 o'clock latest.
Bro, that's insane to me because I have nieces and nephews that don't go to bed until 4 a.m. It's like a different breed of human being in the Gucci family. You don't even know what you're getting yourself into when you walk into that door.
Well, listen, she's a little character lately. She's put on I even put it as a Facebook post the other day. I was like, Stella, it's time to clean up, take a bath. She's like, well, can you be patient with me right now? I was like, wait, what? Oh my gosh, she's a trip. Anyway, we've done a lot of talking today. NFL is here. Week 10 is here. Before we go, we'd be remiss to promote and plug Mr. Mike Marino, Jimmy Palumbo, getting involved, getting back on the stage November the 27th at 7:30 from the Carteret Performing Arts Center. Be sure to buy your tickets now. You can go to catcharisingstar.com. That's right, Catch a Rising Star. That would mean that Jimmy Palumbo, at his ripe age of 56 years old, is a rising star. coming into this. So go get your tickets for Jimmy Palumbo.
Jimmy was on the radio last night. If you guys
didn't know. He was on New Jersey 101.5. Now, I will ask you this, Gooch. The guy, did you see the story that Mike Marino put out that I shared to Jimmy's social media or no?
No.
Okay, because why would you check that? That'd be silly. I did share it out, and they mentioned the guy that was like the disc jockey, I guess, that was there. You know, the I guess, overnight DJ at 10 o'clock at night when you're doing an interview and everybody's listening.
Yeah, he's coming in on Monday to do – that guy's coming in Monday to do Jimmy's show with him.
Okay, that guy is – I'm pretty sure that's the guy we met at Joe Manarese's show. That guy.
Oh, God.
Right. Man. Right. I'm like, no. Oh, no.
No,
like,
I don't want to talk shit. That's no, not nice.
I'm not talking obviously. Shit. He's a good dude. All right, but anyway, a lot of NFL talk. A lot of big things coming up, Chop Sports-wise. Sturch returns. The return of the Mac Daddy comes back on Monday. We'll be in studio together as again once for the 782,000th time. Gooch has changed the studio around, so now I have to walk in there and say, "What the hell did you do?" But usually, it's
always an improvement, or at least it is in my head. I think that you're gonna like it. I'll have some explaining to do for sure, but I think you're gonna like it.
It's all right. It's okay.
And I'll be like, now hear me out. And then that's what I go into. Like, if we put the light here and you sit right here and I sit here, we won't be able to see each other, but I don't want to look at your face anyway.
There you go.
We have this for us. So no, we really can't see each other though. That's going to be an issue.
Oh, really? You know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to like kind of go off to the side a little bit. You know what I mean? Anyway, we'll figure out. That's all schematics. That's aesthetics. That's everything that we're going to get into. I'll be back at studio on Monday for at least one day until we realize we can't handle that shit. And I'll be back at the Dave game on Tuesday. We'll figure it out. A lot of big things coming up. Good luck on your NFL bets. Good luck, you know, on your NFL teams. Let's go Cowboys. Let's go for Gooch's sanity. Let's go Packers. And, of course, the legend of Mike White. Let's go Jets. Where are the Giants at? They got a bye? Yeah, they do have a bye. All right. The Giants can't lose a game, Jimmy. So the Giants can't stink this week. The Giants are off. So for Sturch and Gooch, this has been another episode of the Chop Sports Daily. And, of course, Dina chiming in. Go Raiders. Yes, root for all your teams. Good luck, everybody. And we'll see you guys back here to listen back to Friday's show and see how wrong we really were about all these picks. Jimmy Palumbo back in studio on Monday. See you guys then.
So question for you, Dave. Are you not rooting against the Packers yet? Because I'm definitely all in against the Cowboys right now.
Here's the thing, okay? I want a happy Chris Gucci at work because I feel like more will get done.
So I want therefore, the one seed.
Listen, when they play each other in the NFC title game, the gloves are off, pal.
In
but
Lambeau.
Until then, let's all just be fucking happy. How about that? Thank you.
I'll take consolation in the fact that you'll be happy if Dallas wins, but going into the game, I want that one.
Of course I'm rooting against the Packers. I mean, I want them to lose every goddamn game.
I just want to be clear because I don't want any beef. But be like, bro, I'm not fucking rooting against Green Bay. I'd be like, well, you should be.
Long, soft close. See you guys later.